Welcome to episode number 57 with About Nashville podcast with Mike Rogers and
Dan Whitehurst.
Dan Whitehurst.
And the crowd goes wild.
I'm just checking my breath. Just checking my breath. This is a guy we're having on for the second time. You don't know this, but I'm going to let you know. His name is Leon Everett, and the cat is super funny. He's a former RCA recording artist, and this is his second time on the show. And the first time, man, he really he gave us some good stuff about his dealing with his life as a recording artist and his battles with alcoholism was amazing. But in this episode, it was a good interview, you know. Did you even have a clue as to who we were talking to at the time?
Not really.
Okay. So, because you're not a big country, not because you didn't know him or whatever else, it's just because you're not a big country music fan.
Right.
So, what is your genre?
Rock, I guess.
Rock?
Yeah.
Like, name three of your favorite rock bands.
Wings.
That's not a rock band. That's a pop band. But go ahead.
The Beatles.
That's not a rock band. That's a pop band.
Well, apparently I don't like rock.
When I think of rock, I'm thinking Rolling Stones. I'm thinking Aerosmith. I'm thinking, you know, bands that have a rock and roll edge to them. Led Zeppelin. That's rock.
Steppenwolf.
That's rock.
And I like a lot of the newer stuff. A lot of the, I guess you call it alternative music. I like a lot of country too. I just didn't grow up listening to it.
Like, what turned you on to country music?
The first country music song I ever really liked was "Mr. Lincoln" by Hank Williams Jr.
Mr. Lincoln.
It's a great song, and it was I think a B-side.
Okay.
You know, so I don't even know if it ever got any radio play or not.
About Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Okay, and what was the premise of the song?
It's Mr. Lincoln, I wish you were here. The Republic has changed a lot in 100 years. I don't think it's working out like you planned. Mr. Lincoln, we sure could use a hand. That's the chorus line.
I'm playing the ignorant guy here because I don't know the song. But I know who Abraham Lincoln is, and I know, you know, the Gettysburg, you know, address and all that. So is he saying in the song that he regrets, that he probably would regret the fact that he let the slaves free? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's not about, it's just about how the Republic has changed. Like, for instance, one line, it says, and now they sued the manufacturers of the guns. The laws sure changed a lot since 1861. And somebody pled insanity like they do now all the time. It's just talking about the way things, and it's probably from the very early 80s or late 70s.
So we're talking a song that's about 40 years old and could still be probably relevant.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just glad it wasn't with the race thing, because I was going to really turned off if that was the issue. I was going to be, okay, we're done with this song. Don't like this song. But if it's about just, you know, the changes within inside of society, whether it be the laws or whatever else, you know, some laws are a little outdated. You know, we've still got laws on the books right now that are outdated, that are ridiculous. Like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that fellatio is still illegal in the state of Tennessee.
Well, I'm in compliance.
But there's weird laws that are like that are still on the books that, you know, go like, why are these things still there? And I don't even know if that's, I think I just kind of made that up. I have no idea if I made that up or not. I think I read somewhere that there's some kind of weird laws that are still there. but you know, that probably shouldn't be. You know, the irony is here in Nashville, I probably shouldn't say this, especially to a cop. But you know, they say marijuana is illegal, right? Bull crap. It is legal everywhere you go, in Nashville, everywhere. You cannot go into a, they call them CBD stores or whatever else.
Right. Yeah.
And every single one of these CBD stores, they're selling marijuana. They're selling THC 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 17, 27, 22. I mean, they got it all. They're calling it everything but what it is. And if you think that fake marijuana won't get you real high, you are crazy. Because I don't know that I could tell you, you know, unequivocally that that's the truth. But I'm telling you unequivocally that's probably very true.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll neither confirm nor deny that statement.
I've heard somebody say that, no, this is CBD. There's no THC in it or something until you put flame to it.
Oh,
so that's how they get around that. As long as you don't light it. Well, I wasn't planning on lighting it, you know.
I was just going to chew on it a little bit. Will that make me all right? Dude, they got gummies now that you can just like chew a half one of them gummies. Next thing you know, you're like your legs are concrete and you can't even get up out of the chair. The whole idea that what they did was they altered the hemp law, I think is what it is, inside of the state of Tennessee, so that I don't even really know how this works, but apparently, and I guess because it's not federally legal, they can get away with a whole lot more, meaning if it's not regulated, then who's checking it to see who's got what in it?
Right.
You know, and the weird part about it is, like, I took my daughters downtown. We went downtown just to kind of walk from bar to bar because they wanted to go see what it looked like downtown. I didn't take my daughters in, you know, bar to bar in the bars or whatever else, but I'm showing them. But we did see a karaoke bar, and I did let them get up and sing. But on the streets, they're selling this stuff, like in jars with like the weed and everything else in it. The gummies, the you know, they've got stuff now. And I don't know, did you ever try like marijuana when you were a kid?
It made me very paranoid. I got pulled over by the mailman.
I probably only did it once in my entire life as a kid, maybe, because it just was not something that you did. Back when I went to school, we actually had smoking alleys. It was smoking holes. There was designated spots in school where you could go to smoke.
Now, that was in Arkansas, right?
Yeah, that was in Arkansas.
Right. Now, we had that in Camden, Tennessee, when I was in eighth grade. Like, I'd be going to the junior high, and I'd see the high school students out there smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I got in high school, they kind of cut that out.
I wasn't always an athlete, so I stayed away from those. Like, I was like, I don't want anything, any part. I wouldn't even walk through that thing. I would walk all the way around the building just to avoid those areas. And it wasn't because I thought it was too cool for that, whatever else. It was like, I don't want that in my lungs. You know, there's no way. I did it one time, and it was like one of those deals where you do it and you go, am I high? Is this high? Is this what high feels like? I don't really know. And I'm sitting in class, and I'm like, I think I'm high. Oh, wait a minute. I think this is what high is. And Michael, pick your head up off the table, son. So that was the only time. And I didn't like the way it made me felt or whatever else.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, is it that bad? You know, whatever else. So I did a gummy or whatever. And supposedly with your fake marijuana or whatever. And that lit me up like a Christmas tree.
The first time I ever tried it, I was 15. I was hanging out with the older guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at this party, and everybody was football. But I didn't think any football players smoked it, but they obviously did. Now, we were drinking because I was a little delinquent when I was a kid. And they went, hey, man, try this. And I'm like, nah, man, I heard it make you go crazy. Nah, it ain't going to make you go crazy. So I smoked some of it. Well, that on top of the drinking, I got to feeling kind of woozy. And I said, I'm going to go in and lay down. I had never seen Saturday Night Live in my life. I come walking in the living room at the exact same time Weekend Update come on. I laid down in the floor and thought, well, I'll catch the news and see what's on the news. I thought it was the news.
You're so old. I bet Chevy Chase was doing the Weekend Update.
Chevy Chase was doing it. And And it was, and I was sitting there listening to them talking, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I've gone crazy. Because I knew they couldn't be saying this stuff on the news.
Oh.
But I really thought it was the news. You know, Jane, you ignorant slut. I'm like, oh, wow. And nobody's in here to see this. They're not going to believe me. I've lost my mind.
And you'd never heard of Saturday Night Live before then?
I'd heard of it, but I'd never seen it.
So you didn't know that was Saturday Night Live?
Right.
Okay. No idea. Have you seen it lately?
Oh, I quit watching it probably in the 90s.
What made you quit watching Saturday Night? But the 90s, it was not, it was like the mid-80s, the mid to late 80s, it got a little wonky because they lost Eddie Murphy. And if it hadn't been for Eddie Murphy, I mean, Eddie Murphy kind of saved Saturday Night Live. But, you know, during the mid to late 80s, I thought it was a little wonky. But toward the beginning to mid 90s, or maybe the beginning of the aughts, with Will Ferrell and Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah. I did watch some with Will Ferrell. And I've watched it on a, you know, I would watch it on and off. Because a lot of times Saturday night, I didn't get in, you know, by Saturday Night Live time.
Okay, that's fair enough. So what is your, what's your favorite three country music artists? Cause you obviously don't know rock bands. So what would you be your, maybe you know country artists.
Well, I don't know. You may say, well, that ain't country. I like Hank Williams Jr.
That's not country. All right, see, go ahead. There you go. No, I'm kidding. You like Hank Williams Jr. You like that redneck crap. Okay, go ahead. What else you like?
I like, Faith Hill's husband. What's his name?
Mr. Hill.
Tim McGraw.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Tim McGraw.
And, man, there's a bunch of them I like. Sammy Kershaw.
And by the way, I like Hank Williams Jr. too. Even though, you know, a lot of people go, that's that redneck shit. You know, I don't like that redneck stuff. There's some of it I really do like. And who was the other person?
Sammy Kershaw. I like him.
Yeah, yeah. Sammy's, I like Sammy a lot. Ironically, no one you named is on the radio anymore. But that's okay. I think Tim might be, but only if they play his old stuff.
Oh, yeah, Tim's on there.
No, sure. Name one of his songs he's had on there lately.
Well, lately to me includes the last 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm at that age.
Okay, so you're losing time and dimensions. Yeah. So when you reference things, you're like really referencing. Oh, do you tell jokes now that the references don't hit because people are not old enough to get the references?
I have, but other comedians have corrected me. I won't need TiVo anymore. And somebody said, man, TiVo's been gone for a long time.
So when's the last time you updated your MySpace page?
I don't have a MySpace page.
All right, man. Well, let's get on to this interview with the one, the only, Leon Everett. When we came to, was this called Country Box or Box Country?
Country Box.
Country Box.
Country Box.
Man, I've had a whole lot of Country Box when I was growing up.
Look out now.
Yeah. You know,
watch out.
Yeah, you go into those little honky talks and you leave with some Country Box. But yeah, you
know. I'm taking that one.
That's pretty good. Put the cotton in the kids' ears, yeah, man.
You can't just take that, can you?
That's called stealing.
So he's a professional comedian, and Leon is a former RCA recording artist.
Awesome.
And had tons of hits. He had Hurricane before Lou Combs was even born. he had a Hurricane that was a hit. Not the same song.
That was my first number one record in 1980.
Wow.
1980.
Did you ever think that another artist like Luke Combs would come out with a song called Hurricane and it would be a number one song again?
I didn't. And, you know, a rock group called Band of Heathens, they put it out also, and they had a big hit on it.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know this, but on the American Idol,
mm-hmm,
at Lane Hardy, that won the American Idol, what, 3 years or 4 years ago, whatever it was. He auditioned with Hurricane.
Okay.
And made it. Then he won in the finals. He did Hurricane again.
Oh, wow.
And he won. And on this season here on The Voice, there's a, I forgot his name now, but he's on The Voice and all. He got on there with Hurricane.
Wow.
So.
So it's been around, you know, Reuben Carter, who was called the Hurricane.
Remember Reuben?
Yeah, Reuben Carter. You know, let me think. When did Reuben Carter, when was he popular? 63, 64, around there? 60, mid-60s?
Yeah.
When did he, and then he went to jail for murder.
Yeah.
But anyway, that has nothing, again, ADHD. Forgive me. Forgive me. So the whenever I saw Country Box open, you opened it. You were the very first person to ever open Country Box.
And boy, what an experience that was.
You know, that you doesn't even sound right to say you were the very first person to open Country Box.
Come on.
He ain't that old.
Hey, that old.
It's like, and hey, he is called Adam.
I might be 75, but I ain't that old, bro. Adam,
so from here on out, you're no longer Leon Everett. You are Adam. And he opened the Country Box, and by God, we're all here. So
here we are.
This is, what, the third one? This is the third one now. So.
This is the third one. That, and it's my understanding, he's got two things in store. He, and number one, he plans on making this a weekly thing.
A weekly, yeah.
And he plans on...
expanding.
Expanding. And he plans on beating his old record of 47 in a row.
Right.
47, not in a row, but 47 bouts in 1 year, which I don't know if you know this, but in 1997 when he did that, he was second only to Las Vegas.
Exactly.
To Las Vegas. That's
and,
it.
And you know, he managed some people too, you know, and Oliver McCall, you know.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
What Oliver McCall did, it all started right there with Jimmy.
You know, Oliver worked my corner and would spar.
Did he?
Yes, yes. So Oliver and I sparred one time and we touched gloves. And I literally, it hurt me. It hurt me. And he knew it hurt me because I was crying. So
like, the fight hadn't even started. Yeah, you just touched
like,
gloves.
It's like, no, I'm in a corner. I'm like, please don't, Lance. No, no. It looked like, have you ever seen like the old Charlie Chaplin or, you know, in the ring where they're hitting him and running? That would be me. I would like touch him and then run all over the ring. He's just looking at me like, what is this goofball doing?
Running anyway. From you.
Yes. I have seen you punch. I watched you knock out Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
Pretty sure don't want any part of that.
And he had the best chin, too.
Yes.
I think
yes.
He had
it was a square.
Time.
It was square, and it was very chiseled. And
and you couldn't dent it.
And you could not dent it. I don't believe I ever saw the man knocked down.
He was never knocked down.
Never.
I don't think he was, no.
Mm-hmm. No, no. I bet he sleeps standing up. So how do you, you know, when we talked last time, we were talking about your venture into country music. How did you, and you know, how in the world did your world ever collide with Jimmy and the world of boxing? Well, who did you hit?
It was kind of a freaky thing, you know. I signed with RCA Records in 1980. And, of course, I had 11 straight top 10 records, 3 number one records, and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, we was out in L.A. for the Academy of Music, you know, awards out in L.A. And that was in 1980, I think it was, or 81. And so it was over that rehearsal and all of it, the Shrine Auditorium. And this big old... You know, Jimmy was a big old boy back then, you know.
Still a big old boy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, he's big now, but he was big, big. You know what I mean? I don't mean this kind
of
big.
From his shoulders
I mean
into
this
his
big.
Stomach. Okay, okay.
You got what I'm saying?
Fair enough, fair enough.
Come on, give the man credit here. But he was out there, and I don't know, we just kind of hit it off, man, and just became buddy, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And then every time... I was in Nashville or something at RCA. You know, he was tied up with RCA, too, with Earl Thomas Conley and a few of those, too, you know. So
how was it? What did he do for them?
He was kind of like bodyguarding or...
Really?
You know, and when Earl Thomas would be on tour and stuff like that. Personally, bodyguarded Earl Thomas, and I forgot who all else it was, but Ashley was doing it for RCA.
Okay.
And so anyway, and I was on RCA, of course. So, I mean, we just got closer and closer, big buddies. And then anyway, was back out in L.A. one time for Academy Awards again, and I was staying over to Beverly Hills, Hilton, or whatever you call it out there. No, what's the name of the woman?
Beverly Hills Hotel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The actress owned it, whatever. Okay. Anyway, that's where I was staying. And Jimmy, he comes over. He called me one morning. He said, "Hey, I'm coming over and pick you up a little bit. Let's just go ride around." I said, "Okay." So we went riding around. He come over and picked me up. We went riding around L.A. He went right out there to Burbank, right on into the studios out there. You know, I said, "Well, where are you going, boy?" And he said, "I'm just going to introduce you to some people, you know." So we went in. And we went in this door, big soundstage. Time we walked in, everybody's saying, "Hello, Mr. Adams, how you doing, the girl, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And he asked for so-and-so, I don't remember his name, but anyway, he said, "He's back there on the soundstage." He just walked right on by, and I was with him. We went back there, and he introduced me to the fellow's name, I don't remember. But he says, "Hey, he's going to be out here for a couple of days for the Academy Awards." He said, "Can you get him on a part or something other?" I was on General Hospital.
What?
I didn't even know what General Hospital was, man. I ain't never watching them. I didn't watch them shows.
We had cast members of General Hospital on this show. That's crazy.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
So they said, "Yeah, we'll write something in." So he said, "Have him back here tomorrow morning." I come back the next morning. They had me a little like a khaki like shirt thing with an emblem on it, and I forgot what my name was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on here,
Jimmy Lyons.
Yeah, I was a delivery boy for flowers, and you know I'd go in, you know, like there at the counter, you know, blah blah, and say, you know, "Will somebody sign for this bouquet for Dr. So and So?" You know, blah blah blah, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I got to do that. Anyway, I did two shows, and it was just like that. I mean, that's the power, Jimmy.
You should have said, "Have you thought that maybe this character should sing?"
No, but then you know when I found out what General Hospital was, that stuff that all them women sit around and watch.
Right.
And I never watched any of that stuff. I didn't know what it was. Then I found out about all that kind of stuff, and then all the guys started picking at me, you know. So I never said nothing about General Hospital no more.
Yeah, but that might be why
that was my great acting debut right there.
But that might be why your first record went number one, because all the girls knew you.
Yeah. Like, maybe you might have a point.
Yeah. I don't know. They're like, "Hey, wait a minute. That's the delivery guy of General Hospital. Yes, I'm going to buy his record.
He has these pretty flowers, man."
I would have come in and said, "You know what? I should be like a singing telegram guy. You know, let me sing the telegram to them."
No, they didn't trust me with that one. Just get a signature and get out, boy.
You're like, "Hey, would you like? Can I have some of that country box before I get out of here?"
To go.
Man, so how long were you in L.A.?
Oh, we just go in and out, you know, for the award shows and stuff like that. But, of course, I played the Palomino, and I played L.A. After Night and all that kind of stuff there. But in 1979, my first big television show, I was on Johnny Carson's show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were on Johnny Carson's show.
Yeah, because I did a tribute to Elvis before Ronnie McDowell.
What?
Within 36 hours after we recorded a song called Goodbye Rock and Roll.
Uh-huh.
I was already on Johnny Carson's show.
Let me hear a little bit of it.
I can't do it. I don't even remember it. I said, because I fought. I just had my first record deal, you know?
Okay.
And so then they called me and said, after Elvis died, the next morning, said, "You got to record the song." I said, "I don't want to record it." You know, and I didn't even want to do it, you know?
Right.
I didn't imitate Elvis now. It was just a song, tribute to him.
Goodbye,
rock and roll. And
because Ronnie's version that I remember came out, he
King
did sound like he sounded like Elvis.
Well,
in
see
it.
That all this happened. I went in and we cut it the next morning, and then like I say, it went boom, 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 you know, and it was out there. And then I kept telling him, I said, "Man, I don't want to get tagged with this thing running around doing Elvis stuff, you know." I said, "I'm a country singer, you know?"
Right?
And then Ronnie came out with "The King Is Gone." I told him, I said, "Let him have it, man."
Thank you very much.
They pulled mine back. I didn't want to get stuck in that.
Right.
And I mean, you know, Ronnie's a dear friend of mine. I love him to death. But even today, I mean, he still has to do King of Gone every show.
But think about this. Up until this last movie, he did every single soundtrack for every Elvis project from Elvis 1979 all the way to, you know, until everything, until up until this last movie. It was always Ronnie McDowell doing Elvis Presley. It was like, so you're kind of right.
He's amazing. I mean, he's got a voice.
Oh, man, the guy can sing the phone book.
But we're friends today. I mean, he called me. I just turned 75 in March, and he called me up. I ain't going to tell you what he told me.
Oh, dang. He said, happy birthday, you country box.
Thank you, Ronnie. Now I love him to death.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, man, it is good talking to you again. I appreciate it. You look great for 75 years old. I would have never guessed you were a day over 70.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. I will talk to you later, buddy.
Well, thank you for having me on here.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.